ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 18 टेक्स्ट नंबर 6 चैप्टर टाइटल किंग ययाति रिगेन्स हिज यूथ। श्री सुक उवाच एकदा मानवेन्द्रस्य शर्मिष्ठनामकन्यका सखी सहस्र संयुक्ता गुरुपुत्र्या च वामिनी। Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sukadev Goswami said, one day, Rishabharva's daughter, Sarmishta, who was innocent but angry by nature, was walking with Devyani, the daughter of Shukracharya, and with thousands of friends in the palace garden. The garden was full of lotuses and a tree of flowers and fruits, and was inhabited by sweetly singing birds and bumblebees. There is no purport to this verse, so we will just read the translation of few other verses till we reach the purport. When the young lotus-eyed girls came to the bank of reservoir of water, they wanted to enjoy by bathing. Thus they left their clothing on the bank and began sporting, throwing water on one another. While sporting in the water, the girl suddenly saw Lord Shiva passing by, seated on the back of his bull with his wife Parvati. Ashamed because they were naked, the girls quickly got out of the water and covered themselves with their garments. Sarmishta unknowingly put Devyani's dress on her own body, thus angering Devyani, who then spoke as follows: "Oh, just see the activities of this servant maid Sarmishta. Disregarding all etiquette, she has put on my dress, just like a dog snatching clarified butter meant for use in a sacrifice. We are among the qualified brahmanas who are accepted as the face of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The brahmanas have created the entire universe by their austerity, and they always keep the absolute truth within the core of their hearts. They have directed the path of good fortune, the path of Vedic civilization. And because they are the only worshipable objects within this world, they are offered prayers and worshipped even by the great demigods, the directors of the various planets, and even by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul, the Supreme Purifier, the husband of the Goddess of Fortune. And we are even more respectable because we are in the dynasty of Bhrigu. Yet although this woman's father, being among the demons, is our disciple, she has put on my dress exactly like a Shudra taking charge of Vedic knowledge." Sukadeva Goswami said, when thus rebuked in cruel words, Sarmishta was very angry, breathing heavily like a serpent and biting her lower lip with her teeth. She spoke to the daughter of Shukracharya as follows. So in this verse has got purport. I'll just chant this verse. Atmavrittam avijnaya katase bahu bhikshuki kimna pratiksha sismakam grahan bali bhujoyata. You beggar, since you don't understand your position, why should you unnecessarily talk so much? Don't all of you wait at our house depending on us for our livelihood, depending on us for your livelihood like crows? purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Crows have no independent life. They fully depend on the remnants of foodstuffs thrown by householders into the garbage tank. Therefore, because a Brahmana depends on his disciples, when Sarmishta was heavily rebuked by Devyani, she charged Devyani with belonging to a family of crow-like beggars. It is the nature of women to fight verbally at even a slight provocation. As we see from this incident, this has been their nature for a long, long time. Hare Krishna. You beggars, since you don't understand your position, why should you unnecessarily talk so much? Don't all of you wait at our house, depending on us for your livelihood like crows? So in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear how two friends, Devyani and Sarmishta. Devyani is daughter of Shukracharya, so she is Brahmini. And Sarmishta is the daughter of king, so she is Kshatriya. And they are good friends. But then, this friendship is there till everything is alright. Everything is peaceful. As far as I am happy, you are happy, the friendship can go on. But then little provocation, it sounds little, but I'm sure we all have experiences of how we become angry. We don't have to ask, we all have our experience. What makes us really angry and what is the consequence of become angry? So same thing is happening here. Accidentally, Sarmishta put the clothes of Devyani. Now just imagine, they are friends, but she could not tolerate that she has worn her clothes. And in this state, see the nature of anger, what type of insulting words she is using to Sarmishta and how Sarmishta is responding equally. It's a real chaos, disaster. The one which starts as a very peaceful, simple friends moving around, nice atmosphere, and within seconds they become worse enemies. So this is the nature of material existence. The degree we are attached to our body, so naturally we are attached to our ego. Anything which hurts our ego, we can't tolerate. And how do we respond? This is just a message for all of us that how worse it can become. Of course, one who is very God conscious, you would not be seeing it like this. She is a Brahmani. So Brahman is supposed to be very forgiving and tolerant. So where is the question about you becoming angry? And same thing is Sarmishta. She is being from a lower caste. She should be respecting higher caste. It's Brahmana. That's a Vedic culture. Even if she has rebuked her, she has used cruel words. But then, a person who is from the lower caste, he will always respect, thinking that, oh, this is for my good. This is for my correction. Because when a Brahmana speaks, a person who is in good consciousness, he thinks that, oh, this is the Lord speaking. So this is how the relationship, they're very submissive. But here, both of them are attached to their caste. So naturally, there is pride. And the pride is hurt. The result is anger. So that is why it is said that pride comes before we fall down. There is a verse which says that, I don't know the verse, but it says that even if someone, because of all his austerity and all his mystic power, if he has crossed over the ocean of material existence, crossing over the ocean of material existence means crossing over all the temptations of this world, becoming completely detached. But then he is proud of his own ability or his own austerity. What happens after crossing the ocean? Because of his pride and anger, he drowns in the pool. And how big is the pool? It's just the size of a hoof print, a puddle of water. He drowns in that. So this is the nature of pride. How powerful pride can be and how disastrous it can be. But till there is a false ego, naturally there is pride. So this is something for us to ponder on, that what exactly we are looking out for in life. What do we want? What is real happiness? So further, of course, we have heard that how one simple mistake, even if suppose not spoken, it is not necessary that you have to speak. A degree a person is attached to whatever things in this world, maybe lust, some enjoyment. Even keeping silent also can be a cause of disaster. We hear in the story of Dhruva Maharaj how when Uttanapad saw his son was insulted, he loved his son, but he also loved his wife and he was very attached to her. So he kept quiet. And the son, like any other child, you know, in that state of crisis, he was looking out for some help. He was looking out at his father, and his father just kept quiet and looked in the other direction. Now imagine the trauma which must have caused, you know. He didn't speak anything, but because he was attached to lust. And this boy, just because of that, he was willing to even risk his life. So Uttanapad later is realizing, oh my God, just one mistake I did. I just didn't speak. And now I am the cause of my son's death. Why son's death? Because the son had gone into the forest. What chance does a son have to survive? A small five-year-old boy going into a forest, you know, with all wild animals and, you know, snakes and no proper thing to eat, means he's sure he's going to die. So Uttanapad regrets that I am the cause. Just a simple thing about how our actions, not necessarily words, can result in something which we may not be aware of, but in the end, it's a very, very serious problem. So this whole thing is related to caste, and India is known for caste system. We have been blamed, criticized all over the world. They say that India is a place where there is a caste system. And they want it to be a casteless. And how do we make it casteless? There should not be any caste, which is not going to happen. But then, politicians have been talking about it, philosophers, great thinkers, sociologists, that how do we solve this problem? You know, there is so much a problem. Especially like few years back when we heard that in, especially in North and all over India, like this reservation of seats in colleges, how the higher caste and the lower caste and the higher class were willing to immolate themselves, you know, burn, put fire, take poison, just to prove their point that, you know, this is injustice. And same time, even the lower caste, they are more outspoken, they have more power, they have more position than the higher caste. They can't tolerate this, and then you are from low caste. And so much of conflict, and the politicians are trying, thinking, planning how to solve it. But what is their way of solution? Of course, their way of solution is they're just thinking about where can we get more votes from? Which is the party which will side us? They're really not worried about exactly how we can solve the problem, how we can remain in power and solve it. So in this world, whenever we try to please someone, there is always some displeasure to someone. So even if the politicians have tried to bring up some law to favor someone, always there is some displeasure. So this will never end, and the gap goes on widening and widening. So what is the solution? The solution is there in Srimad Bhagavatam, as we are hearing here. The only solution is knowledge. If there is no proper knowledge, then there is disaster. So in this modern world, we see that there are a lot of solutions being proposed and planned, but actually everyone is groping in ignorance. When in ignorance you are trying to find some solution, there is no solution. So what is the solution? As it is said, when Sukadev Goswami was narrating Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit, there were many people in the assembly, and they were not ordinary people. They were all great sages, very advanced. But one among them was from a lower caste, and his name was Suta Goswami. Now when Suta Goswami, after 7 days, when he heard, and when he went to Naimisarana, and there again there were thousands of people who were sages waiting. But when they saw Suta Goswami, they invited him. Now he is from a lower caste. So they invited him, they made him sit, and they said that you speak because you have heard. So a person, irrespective of what caste he is, but if he has submissively heard, and he has eagerness for hearing, and he has understood what is the science, so he is beyond all this category of caste. There is no caste. He is the supreme caste, the best of all caste. So this is the difference, and that is the solution. So what is the difference? Till we give importance to this body, there is so much importance given to this body. It is not that it should not be given. Whatever needful has to be done. But when so much is given to the designations and, you know, the caste and this, it only results in confusion and conflicts and controversies. So Bhagavad Gita's basic philosophy starts with saying that we are not this body. We are spirit soul. So one who understands and one who is trying, aspiring, striving to understand the nature of that, what who really are. So what is the result of that? And the result is he is experiencing happiness and joy. Not only that, he is also seeing that same worshipable soul in everyone. So where is the question about conflict? So that is unity in diversity. This is what Prabhupada was trying to bring out. No? As he was saying, that United Nations, where is the unity? So unless there is this knowledge, there will be always some conflict. At individual level, at collective level, at national level, international level, there will be no end to this. What to speak about just caste, even among races? Now it has become a little less, but in Australia, how the Asians were, the Asian students, how they were completely, you know, harassed and abused and tortured and beaten and murdered also. Many of the Asian students, same thing is in US. What to speak about, well, Chinese and red Indians and white skinned and black bodied and all are related to this body. So the degree, talk about only this body, to that degree, always there will be conflicts. This is the difference what Prabhupada brought about. We know that one incident among both Prabhupada's disciples. One of them was born in a Jewish family, and another was a German. And I'm sure the German's ancestor, during the Second World War, must have killed many of the Jewish grandfathers and all. So once, and they should be the worst enemies. But here, both of them are such great friends, and they are so united in serving Prabhupada's mission because they are beyond all the boundaries, all the barriers of this body. In relationship with Krishna, that we are part and parcel of Krishna, and He is our Father, and our job is to just serve Him and also attract many other conditioned souls we have forgotten and bring them back to that same experience beyond all these differences, conflicts. This is the greatness of Prabhupada, which He demonstrated. Otherwise, the tendency is everyone is thinking about, you know, some or the other, I have to get out of this. Maybe freedom. Maybe some type of, you know, solution. This is what exactly happened when Prabhupada in 1922, First time he met Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. So when he said, "You are an educated man, you should preach this in the English-speaking countries." And what did Prabhupada say? Prabhupada immediately responded that, "How can we are slaves under British Empire. So who will listen to us?" And what did Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati say? He said, "Governments will come and go. Everything will keep on changing, but not make any difference. But this is an emergency. This can't wait. But this, if you give it, this is the only solution for all problems." So the real freedom is in understanding who we are and experiencing that joy, that happiness. And that is something which transcends all material conditioning. This is what we are propagating, we are promoting everywhere in ISKCON temple. So Chanakya Pandit says that, he also gives one verse, which says, in his Niti Shastra, he says that, "Visha dapyamritam grahyam mame dhyadapi kanchanam nicha dapyuttama vidyastri ratnam dushkuladapi." So the essence of this verse is, you should not care for what is the end product. You should not care from what is the source of that end product. You should not care for what is the process which has gone through for that product. The more important is the product. It is not important where it has come from. So you give some analogies, like if there is nectar in poison, you should take it. If there is gold in stool, you should take it. If there is a very knowledgeable person, but if he is from a low caste, take it. If a woman, if she is very ugly, she has no good features, but she has good qualities, take it. So these internal qualities or knowledge, these are the most important thing. Of course, in our modern day also we experience that someone who goes and meets a lawyer, he doesn't ask that which caste you belong to. If he is very knowledgeable and experienced and famous, we don't care. He is going to help me. Same thing is with doctors. You go to a doctor, you don't ask him that which caste you are from. You are knowledgeable. So it is knowledge which is more important. That is why it is said that a brahmana, even he may have taken birth in a Brahmin family, but then if he has no proper understanding of what is the science of God service, so how can he liberate himself? So what to speak about liberating others? No question. But what if someone who is from low birth, is from a very low birth, but he has understood the science of Krishna consciousness. He, by his words, by his pure words which he has heard, when he repeats it, he can liberate a person from his conditioned state to what to speak about liberating himself. It's very natural. So this is the difference which is said in Shastras, that how it is very clear that it is not caste-based, it is purely a person. What training he has undergone, what education he has taken, what values he carries, what wisdom he has, what understanding, that makes a person great, not his caste. So Prabhupada's greatness was in bringing out this unity. Just a few days back, I heard one very nice, interesting story from Gauranga Prabhu. I'm sure many of you may have heard it. He spoke, it is there very much in my mind, how this influences a person to transcend all types of barriers. He was saying about one devotee from Bombay. He was sharing a room in Mayapur with one, maybe Eastern European, I don't know where exactly he's from. He was sharing a room with him in Mayapur. And both of them, of course, this devotee from Mumbai, many years he has spent in Krishna consciousness. He knows the philosophy, he knows understanding, experience. He has given nice class. And at night, this person, who is nearly 6'4 height tall, at night when our devotee, brother, when at night when he is about to go to take rest, he puts good night, or you know, why he puts that? Just to prevent himself from mosquito bites. Now this person, when he sees, he says, what are you doing? This is a dham. This is a holy place. So these mosquitoes are also dhamvasis. They are residents. How can you do like this? You are causing harm to them. If you want, why don't you use mosquito net? Now this, our devotee was completely stunned by this. You know, my God, I have been serving for so many years, but I don't have this bhava that, you know, I may be hurting. So he went to sleep, but obviously he could not get sleep. He's still remembering about that. How did he speak like this, you know? So the next day morning, first thing he asked, well, what you spoke was very nice. I liked it, huh? Your bhava, mosquito. But tell me, who are you? Where you come from? So that time he told his story that. He said, I was a commander in an army. You know, most in the East European country, we know that all over the world there are problems going on. So he was a leader of a small band of, you know, soldiers, I mean 100 soldiers. And for some purpose, they were going to villages to villages. So he was telling about his own story. So they reached one village, another village, and what they will do, daily going to the village, they will just kill people. They would do all type of sinful activities, burn people's house, loot mercilessly, ruthlessly, cold-blooded. Go and shoot. He said, this is what I have to do. So then what happened? One village when he reached, and he came across one person, went on killing, and he put his rifle on his head. But something he noticed on his face, that this person is fearless. So he asked him that, you are about to die. Don't you feel any fear? He said, why should I fear? Only if you kill me, then I'll fearful, right? So what do you mean? Only if I kill you. I am going to shoot you and you're going to die. So he said, only if you can kill me, then only I'll die. What do you mean? I don't understand. You're going to die. So he said that, no, because I am not this body, I am this spirit soul. So this man had never heard this. What is he talking about? You're not this body, spirit soul. So this way he started asking more questions. So he started getting answers. He said, okay, we'll go to one room. This is a violence going on. These people are plundering and killing. And he takes this person inside and he asks him, where are you getting this knowledge from? Where is it? Of course, his commander's friends got confused that what is this confrontation going on? They came to help him. Is there anything going on? We would like to help you. Commander is a commander, chief. So he said, no, you continue your work. I have something important. I will tackle this with this person. I will do that. So this is what happened between two of them. He went on asking and he answering. He asked that, where are you getting this knowledge from? And that time he removed this book from his pocket. And he showed Bhagavad Gita as it is from Srila Prabhupada. So he asked him, where did you find this book from? So he said that my brother travels, you know, here and there and all. One day he brought this book and he just threw at me. I said, I don't know what is this book. Somebody's cheated me. He just pushed in my hand and I had to unnecessarily pay. He just threw the book. And this person reads this book. And he believes that he's not this body, spirit. And he's chanting also. And he, in his contact, this violent person, imagine what type of a life he had. He, both of them decide that all this confusion, what is going on in the name of race, or, you know, name of this bodily identity and that, there is some fight going on. They don't know why we are fighting, for what we are fighting. They, both of them plan to leave the country and they go and join an ISKCON temple in another country and they become devotees. So this is, this thing must be happening every day in every corner of the world. That how Prabhupada's words, which are so pure, and anyone who is very sincere and is accepting it, how his life gets transformed. He transcends. In ancient history, we have heard about Mrigari and all. You know, Mrigari, Mrigari was such a violent person. I didn't describe the details about how violent he was, this person, devotee. How they used to kill people. Very ruthless. And this same ruthless person, just like Mrigari, how Mrigari, when he wanted to go and touch his Guru Maharaj's feet, he saw there were some ants in front. He just withdrew himself and, you know, he was waiting for the ants to just move away. He just moved them away and then he offered his obeisances. And same person one time was cold-blooded, killing animals. And here is this devotee now, what he was before and what he is now. This is the difference. So solution is there in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, that when we hear how it brings about that type of qualities like tolerance and forgiving and appreciating, or all those qualities naturally arises because the ego is in connection with Krishna, and we are all part and parcel of Krishna. So naturally there is appreciation for everyone, because everyone is part and parcel. And there is nothing like low caste and high caste. So this was the revolutionary transformation which Prabhupada established as International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So this is the nature. Otherwise, if there is no, it is very natural that our mind gets attracted and we become very attached, and the things we get attached to, this, anyone who comes on the way stops, we become angry. And we become angry, then the result is, you know, what happens? Bhagavad Gita says, krodho bhavati sam. What happens? What is the sequence? When a person becomes angry, then he loses his memory. All the things what we heard, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, everything, memory gone. He doesn't know what he is saying, what will be the result. If I say like this, this will happen. I should not say this, the consequence will be this. No control over anything. And what to speak about the intelligence. The intelligence also is gone. No discrimination. He doesn't even see whom he is talking to, who is this person, what's wrong. So all this comes because of lust. Lust means to enjoy myself, right? Sense objects and the senses. Sense objects and senses. The degree I want to enjoy, to that degree there will be lust. And anytime it is not. So what is the solution? Of course, there is, senses are there. The senses would always like to get attracted. So great souls like Narada Muni and in his parampara, all the saintly people, they are always looking out for people like us. How to get him attracted or attached to Krishna's feet. This is how to raise his consciousness up. How to pull him. So this is what their job. So in the association of devotees is the only way we become attached, attracted to the truth supreme. So in that attachment, all these type of things. So it is very scientific. It is not something, this is for me, it is not possible for me. Anyone can do that and overcome all the miserable situation, especially anger, the ego and the anger, and how it results in behaviors which we regret later. My God, why I had to behave like this? His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, he says that if you go and interview most of the criminals, all these criminals who are put behind bars for lifelong and such sentence, the origin of that is always, it is anger. It is just an anger leads to some type of a punishment, some mistake, which is a mistake. You know, why? Then lifelong imprisonment. So real freedom is in understanding, that is knowledge, as it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam. As in this verse, again, how Sarmishta and Devyani, both of them from different caste, one sense, but because they were proud of their own caste, so they could not tolerate insult, If you, I mean, see the words a Brahmana is speaking. Oh my God, it's, we are among the qualified Brahmanas. This is Devyani speaking. Who are accepted as a phase of Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Brahmanas have created the entire universe by their austerity. And they always keep the absolute truth within the core of their hearts. They have directed the path of good fortune, the path of Vedic civilization. And because they are the only worshipable objects, within this world they are offered prayers and worshipped even by the great demigods, the directors of the various planets, and even by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul, the Supreme Purifier, the husband of the Goddess of Fortune. And we are even more respectable because we are in the dynasty of Bhrigu. Yet although this woman's father, being among the demons, is our disciple, she has put on my dress exactly like a Shudra taking charge of Vedic knowledge. See the pride, huh? That's what I am. And she is giving back. You beggar, since you don't understand your position. They were friends. Very nice friends. Now she could not tolerate. You beggar, since you don't understand your position, why should you unnecessarily talk so much? Don't all of you wait at our house depending on us for your livelihood like crows? Hare Krishna. So Kali Yuga is an age of quarrel and hypocrisy, which has been there. So that means it is an all-pervading environment. No one can escape. You can't escape because the environment is, anyone can become a victim of that, you know. So the degree a person tries to defend himself and prove himself that, you know, it was not me who was wrong, it was him who was wrong, that to that degree we are all victim of that power. Victim of Kali power is pulling us into this type of conflicts. So the only solution is to raise our consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Or in other words, taking shelter in that very unpleasant situation. Srimad Bhagavat Puran ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.